And welcome to the month of May. We want to thank you for joining us here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. This is the spring offering week number 2 at WMIE. Would like to invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with WMIE for the next 6 months. 321-632-1000 is the phone number that will get you either Danny or someone else here at the radio station. And if you just let them know what a blessing WMIE has been and that you'd like to partner with them either with a one-time gift or a monthly commitment over the next 6 months, however you choose to do that, that would be a huge blessing. And so we are thankful to know that there are people who are listening. Every once in a while, I get people that call the church and let me know and that they're listening. And we see people from church from time to time and encounter people in the community where they recognize my voice. And that's always a pleasure. But the real thing we want you to know is that we want Jesus to be known. We want to be a blessing. Some of the people that we have met over the past 12 and a half years is Dan and Treasure from Treasure Your Landscape. Their team there is a licensed and insured family business. They work hard. They work fast. They work well. They are very passionate about what they do. They're very, very good at what they do. They have a full array of products, everything from artificial turf and putting greens, landscaping services, paver installations. That's something that they've done for me at my house before. Installing and managing drains and downspouts. They've done that for the church. Let me tell you, I didn't even know those products existed. They put a couple of products in place, and it really, really made a difference as far as places where water was collecting. It went to a good use instead of being wasted. They provide landscape lighting, water features, landscape repair. They have a full array of products, everything from design to planting to maintenance. They wanted to transform your outdoor area into a space your family will treasure. 321-749-1432. They also have Space Coast Nursery up north of the Barge Canal at 3880 North Courtney Parkway in Merritt Island, Florida. That is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. Here, several weeks ago, I was looking for something. I said, hey, I've got a client that might be interested in something. Do you have this? And unfortunately, they did not have that particular product. And they can show you what they have. If you want to see their handiwork, drive by Grove Street, 165 North Grove Street, and look at what a beautiful job they did on the front of our sanctuary there on Grove Street. It looks stunning. And so whether it's irrigation, whatever it might be, great people. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. And they are very, very good at what they do. 321-749-1432 for Treasure Your Landscape. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So yesterday we were talking about how prayer is the antidote to anxiety. And the more anxiety you have, the more time you're going to need to spend in prayer. Anxiety looks at the magnitude of the problem. Prayer looks at the magnitude of God. And so prayer is the Christian's response to a challenging environment, where anxiety is a, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So it's operating from a less than divine resource. So prayer brings us into the presence of God. We present to Him the need that we have, and we do it with thanksgiving. There was a person, they've moved out of the area, precious brother, and he was in charge of procurement for a very large company until he retired. And his responsibility was to make sure that the materials that were needed were available when they were needed. And he was very, very good at his job. Very, very good at his job. And he didn't operate from an anxious mindset. He operated with a calm, cool demeanor that left him able to navigate what could be a very stressful situation and do it in a way that brought glory and honor to Jesus. That's what we do. When we come into the presence of God, it's not because we don't have problems, but we bring those needs into our prayer closet. We present our petitions to God, who is in charge of the supply. He is Jehovah Jireh. I'm not. I see a lot of times, and I was raised in this environment where the mindset of society was largely this, that the man is the provider. And we want to take care. We have a charge, a godly charge, to watch over our family, to protect them, and to cover them and make sure that we love them and show the care that is that they need, the security that they need. All of that's godly, but the reality is this: God is still supposed to be the provider. So He's Jehovah Jireh. I'm not. So when I run out of Bob, I haven't even come close to running out of God. And you would be amazed at the number of resources that God provides so that we can have what we need to fulfill the mandates that He has for us. So we are thankful that He's our provider. We are thankful that He will not withhold any good thing. We are thankful for the people that we get to walk through this journey of faith with. We are thankful for good health. We are thankful for a sound mind. We are thankful for the people that He has skilled and gifted to be able to glorify His name. We thank Him for the facilities. We thank Him for all of the tools that He provides. We thank Him for His presence. In fact, I guarantee you this, if you start thanking God for all of the things that He provides, you're not going to be able to run out of things to thank Him for a long, long time. So, here a few weeks ago, I was teaching on Wednesday night. I do that every Wednesday night, or most every Wednesday night. And a person came up and said, how do you remember all of that? I get the question right. It was, how do you remember everything that I was sharing? Because I present a study guide, a handout, and things like that. But that handout that I do is only a very small sample of everything that I teach. They said, how do you remember all of that? And I said, I study really hard. I'm a better studier now in my 60s than I was when I was in my 20s. In fact, one of the challenges that I had when I went to college was that I had done so well in school up through high school that didn't really involve a great deal of overexertion when it came to learning, that when I got to college and I had to pace myself because the professors weren't charged with that responsibility, that I struggled a little bit because the subject matters were harder. I still had a pretty good GPA, but you know, it wasn't everything that it could have been. Now I believe now if I went back to college with my study ethic now, I would be a straight A student because I want to bring out the truth of God's word. And so one of the reasons that I can thank God is I thank him for the resources that we have available in 2025 that Christians in 45, in 55, in 65 AD, they did not have those resources. And I will tell you that there's an upside and a downside. The upside is we have available to us more resources through online Bibles and online study guides and preaching videos and teaching videos. We have more resources available now than ever before, but those resources do us no good if we do not avail ourselves of them. The other side of that coin is if we're not careful, we can rest on those resources so much that we don't cry out to God, who's the giver of the resources. And the ultimate goal is to have a healthy, holy dynamic of relationship with him. So all of the blessings of God are no substitute for the presence of God. So we need to thank God that we can present to him the things that we need with thanksgiving. I don't know if you've ever gone to the store and you needed something and they didn't have it. We recently went and watched one of our grandchildren participate in a tournament, and at the location of this tournament, there was a restaurant, and, I got to where I was hungry. I do intermittent fasting, and it had reached the point where it's like, okay, it's time for me to eat. So I went to this restaurant and it was open, which was something that people had said it was. I mean, it had been open for about 15 minutes when I got there at that point in time. And I went to order the food and they said, "I'm sorry, we don't have any of that available." And it's like, You're kidding, right? You're a restaurant. You're supposed to have things available. Well, what do you have? And they had virtually nothing available. And it's like, okay, this is disappointing. And I turned around and I walked out because I was disappointed that the thing that they were supposed to have available, they didn't have available. God does not have an economic crisis, does not have a supply chain crisis, there's not rations, there's not daily quotas or anything like that. God's supply is abundant. So when we are praying with thanksgiving, we're making our request known to God. There's a process in place for me as a pastor to be able to come in contact with many of our missionaries. And I work diligently to follow that process, but there's some challenges, there's some bumps in the road. So here, a few weeks ago, probably 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, haven't done the math, was supposed to have a missionary that was scheduled and they didn't show up. I didn't have any contact information, but I was prepared in case they didn't show up, and they didn't. And so I looked on my calendar, saw that I had another missionary that was supposed to be coming up, and my office manager, who I'm going to miss dearly, who's kept me organized and informed for nearly 22 years, and now she's retired or retiring. I got a phone number from her that she found, so I could contact the missionary to make sure that they knew that they were supposed to show up, and they didn't have it on their calendar, and they had asked not to be on that schedule anyway. And so there was a miscommunication. And prior to that, I'd sent an email to the person in charge of that and said, "Hey, I'm really struggling in this area," except for somehow when I hit the send button, it didn't get sent. And so when I discovered that, because I hadn't got a response, I went back and found out the information I was trying to communicate had not reached the person I was trying to get it to. Here with our human relations, there can be breakdowns on the transmitting end, which I had. There can be breakdowns on the receiving end, which we've had that experience as well. But here's the thing with God. We are not making our requests known to others. We are making our requests known to God. We are saying, "God, this is a situation that I'm not turning to you last. I'm turning to you first. I'm turning to you not because you're not capable. I'm turning to you because you're the best at it. I'm turning to you. I'm making it known to you. I'm not here begging. I'm here with thanksgiving that you have made this means of communication possible. God, here is what we need to fulfill the task that you have assigned us. God, I want to thank you that you work out all things together for the good of those that love God, to those who are called according to your purpose. God, thank you for your supply. Here's what we need. I'm so thankful that we have this means of communication." Complaining takes our problems to men. Complaining will actually damage your prayer life. I listen, if I could say one thing that could spark a major advancement in our Christian walk, it is this: complaining doesn't solve our problems. Complaining sets us up for spiritual correction. If you don't believe me, go back and look in Exodus at the murmuring and the complaining the children of Israel did in the presence of daily supernatural supply, of miraculous intervention, of miraculous deliverance, of miraculous leading and guiding by the power of God day and night through godly leadership. I mean, Moses is one of the greatest leaders to have ever walked on planet Earth, and they did so much complaining and murmuring and griping that he ends up thinking that he's the source instead of God's the source. And then he ends up paying the price, much to his disappointment. Don't complain. Don't make it your lifestyle. I'm not saying you can't inform people when there's a problem. I had that happen recently. I said, we had to rent a hotel room when we went out of town, and the next morning at the when we went to check out, I said, that room should not be rented. And there were reasons. It wasn't just that I was not happy. There were reasons. And the person that I was talking to, they weren't part of the problem. A lot of times we complain to people who are not part of the scenario anyway. I was just letting them know, don't rent that room. You know, until your renovations are complete, don't rent that room. It was not good. But God knows everything. We don't come to him complaining. It, you know, the old sayings, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, that's not in the Bible. Instead, we come to God in faith. And here's what it says. Remember, it said, be anxious for nothing. It then says what you are to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, don't forget that part of the recipe, let your requests be made known to God. And verse number 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Now, I will tell you that God is not a God of fear. God is not sitting upon his throne, twiddling his thumbs. He's not wringing his hands. He's not biting his fingernails like I am when I'm trying to watch an Oklahoma football game and they come up short too often. He's not up there wondering how he's going to hold it all together. I tell the folks at Merit Assembly of God, keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on Jesus, and if he's not panicking, then you don't have to panic. And the thing about it is, it's not just the peace of God, but the peace of God exists because he's the God of peace. And he wants to give shalom. He wants to give wholeness and completeness and soundness in our spirit, our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions, our finances, our relationships. He wants to give us that wholeness in our life because it's something that comes from him. It's not just an absence of conflict. It is confidence in God in the midst of the battle as well. And this is what he says about the peace of God. He says, it surpasses understanding. That means that through prayer, through your walk with God, your walk with the Holy Spirit, that you have developed such a confidence in him, in who he is, and what he is able to do, and his leadership. You have confidence in who he is, that if you don't understand everything, you're still at peace because you know that God understands everything. Where complaining says, you obviously don't have all of the information, the peace of God says, God, I am so thankful that you do have all of the information. That you not only are aware of the problem, you know the solution. It's not up for me to convince God of the solution. Our prayer time is where God informs me of the solution, and I get to walk in informed obedience. But even if I do not understand everything, I obey in the midst of challenges because of who he is. A lot of people say, unless I know the details, unless I know step by step by step by step, I'm never going to do anything. Well, that might get you by on occasion. But when our kids were growing up, we did our best to try and instill in them the need for immediate obedience because there may not be time for an explanation. obey first and we can explain why later. And so if you are facing challenges, the peace of God is, I pray that it's not restricted to just the things you understand. Because the peace of God is designed by God. Verse number 7 concludes this, that it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not through your understanding, but through abiding in Christ. So here's what happens. Anything that is aimed by the enemy at doing damage to my heart, my motives, or my mindset, anything that could possibly reach that level of my existence, God has a gift for the body of Christ that comes from prayer and confidence in Him. And He says, I'm going to give you the peace of God. I'm going to give you my peace, my joy. And that filters out all of the damaging impacts. So I don't have to take everything to heart. Instead, I can guard my heart. And I guard my mind through Christ Jesus. So there's a philosophy out there that says you need to be open-minded to anything. And the Bible actually teaches exactly the opposite. It doesn't say that we're supposed to be closed-minded. We're supposed to be protected, mind-protected. And the thing that protects me is Jesus Christ. The person who protects me is Jesus Christ. The filter of everything is Jesus, His word, His calling, His anointing, His purpose in my life. All of those things guard my heart and they guard my mind. And the more I pray, the better protected I am to where I am able to be gentle and I'm able to live less anxious and in the freedom of God. See you next time here on Refresh.